buckled up. Here we go. This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati. On a re-entry Monday, we got a lot of stuff for you. How you doing, Maz?
Good, you?
Just peachy, thank you. Bruins playoffs, Celtics playoffs, Red Sox off to the best start in franchise history, and the Palace Q continues.
And boy, does it ever.
With the Patriots. I'll give you the headline. We'll play the sound here in a second, but the headlines are this. Patriots voluntary offseason workout program begins today. Rob Gronkowski not attending. According to ESPN, still not certain of his future. Tom Brady also not in attendance, and according to Jeff Darlington of ESPN, won't be in the near future or for the foreseeable future, and isn't quite sure when that's going to change. Your thoughts?
Oh, to me, this is all part and parcel. Can we back up a couple of days? Can I add the other story onto it, too?
Adam.
Amendola. Danny Amendola's comments over the weekend. I look at the whole thing. I said, somehow this thing is still getting worse. And obviously, you know, it's worse from our perspective in that Amendola probably felt the way he felt for a long time. But we're just finding out when he pipes up the way he does and starts criticizing Belichick and the operation and et cetera, et cetera. I look at the whole thing and it again, to me, fortifies the notion and the belief that there are real problems in there. And I, you know, the fact that the Gronk thing is sort of back at a contract issue on some level reassuring that it's about money. But I just think that this tells you, for these guys to be as public as they are about dissing Belichick, whether it's Amendola's words or Brady and Gronk's actions, to me is, in the big picture, stunning.
I'm stunned. And if you remember at the Super Bowl, I told you that at some point in the offseason, we're going to find about extensions for Brady, Belichick. There's going to be a big, you know, sort of come together. Robert Kraft's going to ride in on his white horse and, you know, set everything right again. And we're going to have this big public display of, see, it's fine. It was always fine. And I just felt that was coming and that everyone would come together and they'd just sort of hash it out and have at least, at very least, a public display of unity. And it would be all systems go. And it's just the opposite, and that stuns me. That stuns me that we're in this place. Before I give you some of the sound, Murray, you want to weigh in? How are you feeling about this big Jim worry?
I defy anyone at this point to explain how everything's just fine, and everything is just, you know, it's business as usual down there, because it's clearly not. I'm with Maz. It feels like it's getting worse by the day. The Danny Amendola stuff over the weekend, that the audio with Mike Reese and the time he spent with Mike Reese, I think there's so much to dive into there. And I found it refreshing that Amendola confirmed that players on this team are still pissed about Malcolm Butler's benching in Super Bowl 52, and rightfully so. Doesn't sound like Brady's going to be showing up anytime soon until maybe he gets his way with Alex Guerrero. And Gronk wants to put him over a barrel for more money, which I think he's right to do. But it ain't business as usual down there. We're not making all this stuff up. Oh, ESPN lies. Yeah, Seth Wicker scam, all of that. No, this is all real. And it just feels like it's getting worse by the day.
Well, the part that's real is they're not there. I mean, that you know, who knows if Darlington's right or they're not there. They opened up today and they're not there. And when those guys are there on day one, we make a point to celebrate it and say this means something. And they're committed from day one and they're setting tone. And we do that every year when they're there early. When Tom Brady's the first one through the door, it's reported and it's we feel good about it. So now that he's on a camel in the Middle East, you're supposed to feel the exact same way. I mean, let's just be consistent. If we celebrate it, if we give it meaning when he's there, we have to give it meaning when he's not there. You don't have it both ways. So I'm just trying to be consistent. I think it is a good sign when he shows up. I hated when he used to train in L.A. I hated that. I thought that was a bad, just bad messaging, bad optics. Not, you want him there. I never liked it when he was in Brentwood, ever. I thought it was better when he came back. And so I think it's good when he's here. I like it when players show up early and in shape. Even in Red Sox spring training, I pay attention to their weight the first week. All those, I put meaning to it. So when Tom Brady's there on day one and committed, I say it. When he's not there and apparently not committed on day one, I say it too. Jeff Darlington, ESPN. Here's the report.
I anticipate that Tom Brady will not only miss Monday and Tuesday due to this regularly scheduled event in Qatar, but when he returns, I do not anticipate that he will be a part of the voluntary program on Thursday when the team resumes their activities and then moving forward from there.
So just stop. What?
I know. See, that again, as I hear it, when you hear the actual words, and it's not the first time I've heard it, which should tell you even more, I shake my head and I'm like, this is unbelievable that Brady's not there. And now I was expecting the beginning of the week because of the Best Buddies event that he's involved in. We all sort of knew that, although even that I think is interesting. But nonetheless, if he missed the first day or two and then showed up, fine. No problem. But he's not going to show up the rest of the week because of family issues or family matters, family commitments. You know, he wants to be with his family. Since when? Like, I just think, again, to me, this is revealing. It suggests that there is some,
well,
dysfunction's the wrong word, acrimony that still exists in there.
Darlington's basically saying he didn't say holdout, but, I mean, if he's not going to be there for the foreseeable future, I mean, what do you call it? Just pick it up, Jimmy.
On Thursday, when the team resumes their activities, and then moving forward from there. I would go so far as to say that I would call it unlikely at this point that he is a part of any of the voluntary program this offseason. How far he extends that is a major question, one that I don't know that even Brady has the answer to. But for now, we should definitely at least not anticipate that he is a part of this week and likely moving forward.
That's so open-ended. Likely moving forward, huh? Till when?
That he is a part of this week and likely moving forward.
Won't be a part of any of the offseason program.
It's a cue.
Do you think Darlington even knows what he's saying there?
No. I mean, not in terms of how we would receive it.
See, I mean, not that I...
Well, he's not just slapping it out there, though.
I don't know. I don't know if he fully understands what he's saying. He's saying he won't be a part of any of the offseason program?
Voluntary.
Okay, voluntary, right. They have that mini camp the first week of June that's a mandatory thing. And the rest of it's voluntary, except a lot of them have workout bonuses. Like Gronk has a $250,000 workout bonus.
Right.
And the way Gronk's thing works is it's 90% participation to get it. There's only like 40 practices or 36, I read. So if he misses four practices, he doesn't get a $250,000. So missing just a day is significant for Gronkowski. I don't know if Brady's got any of that stuff. But to say he won't be a part of any of the offseason program? I do wonder if Darlington knows exactly what he says, what he's saying there, and what that means here versus other teams, and what that means in terms of Brady and here. He won't be a part of any of the offseason program? What? Okay, aye, aye, aye. Why? Number two.
Why?
That is the million-dollar question, Sage, and let's start with number one, family. He made it very clear in his Tom vs. Time documentary, he told Gotham Shoper, the producer of that, that he will be devoting this offseason to family. We might not have read a lot into it at the time, but he was very serious about that. He's going to spend more time with them. He also will be working more with his body coach, Alex Guerrero, very controversial figure in this whole thing because he's not allowed at Gillette Stadium per Bill Belichick's rules. So now Brady wants to spend his time working with Guerrero. Certainly there is some lingering frustrations here with the organization, but I would definitely point to number one and number two as the very clear reasons why Brady won't be a part of this program.
Fascinating, though, considering all the talk with some issues maybe between he and his head coach last season. We'll see how that plays out. Meantime, what about Gronk?
Right, Jimmy,
Adam Schefter reporting that.
Jimmy, cut it there.
See, that second one especially, that's giving Bill the finger. Screw you. I'm not coming to your workouts. I'm working out with my guy, the one you won't let into the stadium. Screw you. I'm staying here. I'll do it my way. I'll see you when the season starts. And again, I'm giving you an aggressive translation.
No, I like it.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, when you say it the way he did in that report, that, you know, he's going to work out with Guerrero. Well, that is, which one are you doing? You got to pick one. Are you going to come in and work with us or are you going to stay with your guy? And Brady's saying, I'm staying with my guy.
I find the family one almost offensive.
Just an excuse at this point.
It's bull crap. It's bullcrap.
Borderline offensive.
It's not the real reason.
So you wait for them to trade Garoppolo and then it's about the family? He would never do this if Garoppolo were still, no matter how pissed off Brady was about Belichick and Guerrero and anything else, there is no way he would take this approach if Garoppolo were still sitting here because he knows the head coach liked Garoppolo and you did the whole thing. There's no way. So they trade Garoppolo and now we play the family card? Ugh, I can't stand that. Really? Oh, that is just what a bait and switch. Again, that is just brutal. Now we're going to play that card. Oh, I see. So, like, that's frustrating. The Amendola stuff, I'm with you. Talk about shots. I thought this was the biggest shot. Jimmy, play number two. It's the second half of the Butler Q&A. So Mike Reese is driving around in a car with Amendola over the weekend, and we have one of these. These have become, like, popular now, like why am I saying car karaoke or whatever y'all people are doing on the internet now? Like everyone drives around now and does interviews in cars. Like, whatever. Okay, this is like a thing.
Yeah, Seinfeld does it. The comedians in cars drink. Comedians in cars drinking coffee.
Now you
it's
do,
like coffee talk.
Now it's like interviews in cars. It's just, this is like a new thing. All right, so whatever. He's driving around in a car with Amendola because Lord knows they can't stop and get out and sit somewhere. No, it's got to be in the car. So they're interviewing him in the car, and Reese asks him about the Butler thing. And then we'll play all the sound later, but this is just my lead quote. So he gives an answer. He never told us. I asked. No one ever told us about Butler. And then Mike follows up. Do you think it affected the team?
Did you sense that hurt the players?
Yeah, I did, honestly. Nobody really got an explanation for it. You know, he's a brother of ours. He was a brother of ours that year. And, you know, I hate to see a guy who worked so hard throughout the season not get a chance to play in the biggest game of the year and really get no explanation for it. So, with that said, I don't know how, you know, the business aspect went into that decision. I don't know how the personal aspect went into that decision between him and Bill. But, you know, as a friend, you know, I would have loved to see him out on that field that day.
I just think bringing up the business aspect and the personal aspect is such a shot.
Oh, that's the money quote.
It totally is, yeah, because it suggests that it was personal.
He's saying it's not football. Well, and he couches it, right? And he says, well, I don't know what the business aspect would be or the personal aspect between him and Bill, but just bringing it up, introducing it, is such, to me, a shot at the decision-making and what went behind that Butler
thing. No question. And again, especially considering the source. When Amendola first got here, if you don't remember, we had him on the show. I'd have been better off talking to that printer over there or the fax machine than that guy, for crying out loud. He didn't say Richard for the whole time he was on. Seriously, that guy said Jack. He wouldn't go near anything. Holy crap. All of a sudden, he's flapping his gums like Loose Lips McGee. Like, you know, now he's the one firing at Belichick. To me, it just, again, tells you, like, how deep this thing has run. He wouldn't say Jackson when he was on with us.
So he goes after Bill pretty good in that little car ride interview. We'll give you more of that. We'll give you more of Darlington. The Palace Q, it does continue here on Felger and Mass.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
It's a Palace Q.
A mutiny, a cue.
Tom hates Bill.
Brady wants to spend his time working with Guerrero. He's not allowed at Gillette Stadium per Bill Belichick's rules.
A mutiny, a cue.
Meantime, what about Gronk? Adam Schefter reporting that Gronk won't be there either.
Gronk hates Bill too.
A mutiny, a cue.
Gronkowski wanting to work with Guerrero. Tom wanting to work with Guerrero. Tom also wanting to spend time with his family. Again, a lot of parallels here. Certainly there is some lingering frustrations here with the organization.
Former players like Danny Amendola also hate Belichick.
A mutiny, a cue.
He hasn't been known to pay his players, really. I gave money back to him. You know, he wasn't going to really come close to any of the other offers that I had. And, you know,
it's a Palace cue.
A mutiny, a cue. The Patriot, a coup.
Big Jim Murray putting that together.
I might have taken some liberties with that audio, but
not much, not many. A little, slight. A
few words shifted around or removed, but
not too bad. I think that's generally it.
Still think it paints a pretty good picture of what's going on behind the scenes in Foxborough.
I mean, again, even though Amendola's gone, you understand, folks, that the players, when they leave, are not allowed to say bad things about the team, and the team doesn't say bad things about the players. I mean, it's
look at the high road that Malcolm Butler just took.
Everyone takes a high road. It's to the point where I on some level, it's contractually obligated. And I don't know if that's a strict non-disclosure, a strict written agreement, or
there's a lobotomy that goes on before the player goes somewhere else.
There's just a good understanding on the way out the door, no matter how ugly it is. You don't say anything about us. We don't say anything about you. Okay? And the agent gets it, and so these players say nothing when they leave the team. So for Amendola even to go here, I mean, again, throwing more water on the Butler thing is just, you know, again, you know that goes right up Bill's mail chute because it's more Butler ammo.
I mean, it's second-guessing a coaching decision publicly. Like,
But even, you know, and I don't think Amendola cares about the Butler thing. I think he cares about the contract and that they didn't step up to keep him here. I think that's what he cares about. But that's his way to get at Bill, is to mention the Butler thing. But the Amendola cut on his contract, I thought, was also telling. He goes right after Bill. He doesn't mention Kraft. He doesn't mention the organization. He goes right at Bill. Why isn't Danny Amendola back? It's because of Bill. Jimmy, play number four, Amendola four.
I understand Bill runs a tight ship. You know, he hasn't been known to pay his players, really. And, you know, I understood that. I gave money back to him so I could play for him and play for my teammates and fulfill my side of the contract. And, you know, at the end of the day, I had faith that he was gonna you know, give me an opportunity to stay. But at, you know, at the end of free agency or at the, you know, in this case it was the beginning, and when free agency broke, you know, it came to, you know, realization that, you know, he wasn't going to really come close to any of the other offers that I had, and, you know, I had to make a decision for my family and you know, go down to Miami and continue my career there.
Him. I gave money back to play for him and my teammates. He, at the end of the day, you know, made it all about Bill.
I mean, so this is actually the first time I'm hearing the comments. I had read them over the weekend, okay? Just the line, Bill doesn't pay his players.
How do you think they feel about that one, folks? I can tell you personally how they feel about that one. That's about one of the top three worst things you can say about them as an organization. It drives them nuts. They hate it.
I mean, that's like the kind of stuff that a guy on the outside who hasn't played here will say about the Patriots when he's criticizing. Like, remember that guy in the Eagles saying it's not fun to play there? Like, someone on the outside says, yeah, the Patriots don't pay their players. This guy was here. Bill doesn't pay his players. Holy crap. I saw that line and I went, wow. Like, talk about hitting it head on. Danny Amendola, of all people. Like, you couldn't pry a word out of that guy's mouth if you tried.
Okay, according to Jeff Darlington, Tom Brady not at the offseason program and won't be a part of any of the offseason program for the foreseeable future. Gronkowski, not there. Adam Schefter says still trying to figure out his future. Everyone thinks that's bull crap and it's just about money. But either way, if Gronkowski misses four practices in this offseason, he skips out on a quarter mil. So there's stakes. Every day that he misses is, you know, nothing to sneeze at. That's a quarter mil.
And if you want to read further into this and how it has to do with Alex Guerrero, Albert Breer of MMQB literally just tweeted one relevant detail on Tom Brady's absence this week. This is phase one of the Patriots offseason program, which is directed exclusively by the strength and conditioning coaches. Phase two begins on April 30th.
Okay, so your thoughts, folks. We discuss. It's a reentry Monday, so you want to get into the Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, by all means. By all means, I just think this is sort of the lead right now. Kelly in the car, lead us off today. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hi, I'm sick about this news today, and I'm just wondering, where is Robert Kraft? Where is Jonathan Kraft? Where is the leadership? Belichick is not going to back down. Tom Brady's acting like a diva. Now you got the big glump following along with him. And where's the leadership? Nobody's going to give. So step in and do your job.
I'll tell you what, Kelly.
Give us leadership.
Kelly, I thought by now for sure that we would have had a Robert Kraft saves the day kind of story. I was convinced of it. That, you know, like in the players' lockout with his arm around Jeff Saturday in front of the microphones, I was like, no, it, you know, at least publicly, right? Privately, they could all still hate each other. But I was just convinced that by the time we got to this point, it was time to show up for the offseason workouts, that we would have had a show of unity and they'd be there and it would at least on the surface be kumbaya, if not really behind the scenes as well, that Robert would have settled this all and hammered this all out, and they would have hammered it all out. It feels like it's just the opposite. I'm stunned by that.
Oh, no. Again, it feels like it's getting worse. This thing is snowballing. Like, who next? Who's going to be the next guy to pop up? That Deion Lewis, anybody? Is he coming? Like, who's going to be the next guy to rip?
Steve in Westboro. Go, Steve.
Felger, at the rate this offseason's going, man, I really need something to look forward to. So I thought of something myself, okay? I think you should really listen. I think you, Charlie, and Troy should have an on-air intervention with Bert Breer and just finally tell him to shut his toggle right on air. I think that's terrific TV that I am just looking forward to and I need, quite honestly.
Okay, well, we all need something. You had the Bruins. Maybe they're onto something. Who knows? But the Brady thing, I'm just... Look, he's playing. Well, I mean, you want to feel better? He's playing, I think. And the division is still an absolute train wreck of a joke. Okay, so you're not falling. You're going to be in the playoffs and probably have buys and home playoff dates and all this stuff. So, like, I don't see that changing. But I don't know. I look at Brady like, boy, you fraud. You know what? What happened to you giving up your life? So this is all because Bill's being a jerk to your trainer. So now all of a sudden you're not giving up your life, all because they traded. If the kid was still here, you'd be giving up your life, right? If Garoppolo were still here, you'd be here, right? You wouldn't just blow this stuff off. You wouldn't be on a camel in the Middle East. You wouldn't. You'd be here. You'd be here day one. You wouldn't be riding camels right now.
I love the camel reference. It does crack me up. Look, it just goes to show you that at the end of the day, he really is a lot more like most people than he is different.
When he's challenged, he's different. When he's, you know.
Bingo.
And, right? And Bill knows it, too.
When he's jeopardized or his job is jeopardized or threatened, he will respond like most people. Like most people, we settle into sort of routines and we get comfortable and then there you go. And then all of a sudden there's a threat and we perk up and our focus is a little finer. And you know what? We're seeing the same thing with Brady. He's going to stay out the whole week. So that report by Darlington that, you know, I don't know when he's coming back, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, yep, that he may miss most of the voluntary, if not all of the voluntary stuff during the off season. Like, that's got to be coming directly from Brady's camp. That's got to be coming from the agent or someone.
I don't know anymore. I hope Darlington knows what he's saying. Meaning, I hope he understands the ramifications of that line. That, you know, that he's not going to be here today. He's not going to be here on Thursday when they reconvene. I guess there's 2 days off before the next one. I mean, that's the way he made it sound. He's not going to be here Thursday when they reconvene. And he won't be a part of any of the off-season program. And for the foreseeable future, I can't remember how he qualified that. But, I mean, that is a major statement.
Yeah, I don't think... But... Look, I don't know who his sources are. I don't think he's just, like, you know, flying it off the top of his head.
I said the same thing about Mort. I mean, look, I'm not an ESPN denier. I think for the most part, they've done a good job, and, you know, I think fans hate him. But for the most part, I think the Wickersham stuff was on the line, on the button. I think it was accurate reporting. And I'm not someone who just dismisses ESPN because it's, you know, reflects poorly on the team. I don't do that. Darling, I just hope he understands what he's saying. That Brady's not showing up? Like, indefinitely not showing up. And that's a big story.
Sure, that's
a big deal.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon-to-coupon. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a punch out would make 14 strikeouts of the Orioles today. Boston Red Sox 13-2 as Kimbrel seals it with a strikeout, and the Red Sox beat the Orioles 3-1. They can go for the sweep if tomorrow is indeed played.
What stands out to you about 13-2?
Well, look, 13-2 is 13-2. How do you get around that? But I'll tell you, I looked it up this morning. The teams they've played, 19-41 on the season. Miami, Tampa Bay, the Yankees, and the Orioles. Who, the latter of which, suck. Boy, are the Orioles bad. That's a horrible team. I don't know where that franchise is going. So, there's a lot to be happy about with the Red Sox over the weekend. Okay, I think they still have a hole in the bullpen, but I don't know that many teams are really going to be able to push them on it. So, I don't know if this start is more an indictment on the league. And again, they're playing well. I don't know if it's a bigger indictment on the league or John Farrell. Like, which one? You look at John Farrell now, and you say, wow, like your team's beating the crap out of everybody. Is it possible you underachieve with 93 wins even during the regular season? Like, the playoffs are one thing. And so, you know, to me, that one sticks out again. The ineptitude of the league is, right, this is going to be a bad league this year. There's going to be four or five teams, and that's it. Everyone else is going to suck.
I thought Eduardo Rodriguez was excellent on Friday night. I thought that was encouraging. They're deep. And to answer your question, Matt, I think it's more about the competition. I mean, those guys got to look themselves in the mirror. That's more about them. A manager only matters so much in baseball. You know, 93 wins is still 93 wins. Them underachieving in the playoffs, that's on them. Everyone else stinks. The Orioles are bad.
Oh, God, they're horrendous. They really are. And just quickly, one more thing. Hanley, to me, is the best story on the team right now. I just, you know, Murray talked about the depth. Hanley missed a game. They won. He comes back the next day. First of all, when he was out after getting hit on the hand in the Yankees finale, didn't you think he'd miss a few games?
Well, that's typical for him in the past, yeah.
It was one. It was one.
Right.
He missed one game. He was back in the lineup, and he went 3-for-4 with a homer and hit a ball off the wall. I mean, it's like he jumped right back in. So he's batting .330. His OPS is in the mid-9s. He's averaging an RBI per game. He's stealing bases. He's got 3 steals, as many steals as home runs, and he hasn't made an error. You might be hard-pressed to find a 15-game stretch where Hanley's played better all the way around than he's playing right now as a member of the Red Sox. So, like, Hanley to me is just an interest. I don't know if it'll keep up, but right now I'm more interested in Hanley than any guy in that team.
And just real quick, one other thing on the Red Sox. I think tomorrow night is absolute must-see TV as they're going to play this first game against the Angels. Ohtani gets bumped, so you get Ohtani against David Price. I think that's asses-in-seat television.
Okay, well, hopefully it'll be warm enough for Davey.
It was Southern California.
It was interesting to hear that Chris Sale also. Chris Sale pitches without sleeves and says he didn't have sensation in his hands because it was so cold. Huh, interesting. How many did he go? He went 5-6 innings, right?
He did, yeah. I think it was 5, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Price made it 40 pitches, 1 inning. So, just a thought there. We continue here on a Reentry Monday with your phone calls. We've got George in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Hi, George.
Felger, you guys have been very good to me, but I'm going to hold your feet to the fire, Michael, and you got to show me some credibility here. And in regards to now Robert Kraft.
We're not doing that.
Hire a lifetime criminal who has violated probation.
Okay, the rapper, I don't know anything. You have to do that on your own time. I have no idea about the rapper story.
Mike.
What do his girlfriend and the rapper have to do with this?
Oh, what? You bash everybody, Michael, and rightfully so. And why not Robert Kraft? Why? Because you're afraid of your job, aren't you, Michael?
What? How am I supposed to rip his girlfriend?
Mike, where is Robert Kraft right now?
What does his girlfriend have to do with this?
Where is he?
What does his girlfriend have to do with this?
He doesn't care about the Patriots. He wants to be in Beverly Hills. He wants to be at the Bel Air.
See, you're making it personal, George, for some reason. That's your own beef. I don't think his girlfriend or the rapper, that nonsense, has anything to do with this. I think this has to do with Brady and Belichick hating each other and Kraft not being able to do anything about it. Now, what he can do about it is throw some more money at Gronkowski. That would help. I guess Kraft could throw money at the whole problem. You know, extend Brady, give him a bunch of money. Extend Bill, give him a bunch of money. I mean, that usually shuts people up, gets them back to work. I guess he could do that. But is that really, I don't know. Does that really solve the issue or does that address the issue? The issue is the coach and the quarterback have lost trust in each other and are at each other's throats. So the tight end may be just money. I mean, who knows? I don't know how much principle Gronk's put on this in terms of Guerrero and the trainer and all of this. But Brady, to me, if you're asking me, that's what this is about with Brady.
See, I'd still be shocked if Brady doesn't play. Like, it feels to me his reaction to this whole thing, whether it's Guerrero or all the above, okay, like just years and years of just being tired of Bill, that his reaction to the whole thing is, fine, no problem. You're getting the bare minimum then. I'll be at the stuff I have to be at. The rest of the stuff, you're on your own. So voluntary workout, what's the word? Voluntary, that means I don't have to be there? You're on your own.
You're saying this is Brady. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady playing semantics with the voluntary word.
Yeah.
Of all people.
Yeah.
Like, I expected this from Terry Glenn and Randy Moss and some of the other, you know, like that crew.
Okay, but what do you think it is then?
All I'm saying is, no, that's what he's doing. Isn't that stunning?
It is stunning, yes. Yeah, sorry, I thought you were saying he wasn't doing that.
Doesn't that blow you away? That Tom Brady's doing that?
Yes, of course it does. And I think it tells you, again, what it tells you about more than anything is the depth of the problem. I get irritated, like last week when people say, or 2 weeks ago, you know, they've had off seasons like this before. No, they haven't. You can talk about the personnel you want. You want to say they let players go in the past, fine. Amendola leaving, can we now say with certainty that that is different after he talked about it?
Oh, my God.
Like, to me, this is different. I'm sorry, the whole vibe, and I don't know what other word to use, but the vibe out of Foxborough is poor, to say the least. There's some major issues there, and it feels to me now like Brady has reached the point where he says, look, I'm under contract. You know, I told the owner I'm going to play. Fine. I'm doing it for the owner. I'm not doing it for the coach. Voluntary, I'm not there.
And the Amendola stuff, again, going at the Malcolm Butler thing is just purely a way to take a shot at Bill. I don't think Amendola's gone or anyone's gone or not showing up because of Butler. But I think it's a chance for them to get at Belichick. And so when Mike Reese in the drive-around interview asks him about Butler, and he says this stuff, man, Jimmy, if we could just play it. You know, Amendola won. He doesn't know why Butler didn't play to this day.
To tell you the truth, I don't know why. I did ask, but I didn't get any answers. And, you know, I can't make decisions like that, so I don't really necessarily worry about it. But I know Malcolm's a great player, and he could have helped us win. For whatever reason, he wasn't out there. So nobody really got an explanation for it. You know, he's a brother of ours. He was a brother of ours that year. And I hate to see a guy who worked so hard throughout the season not get a chance to play in the biggest game of the year and really get no explanation for it.
Okay, so that was that. And then he follows up, and I thought this was even more telling. The follow-up question and answer from Mike Reese.
Did you sense that hurt the players?
Yeah, I did, honestly. Nobody really got an explanation for it. You know, he's a brother of ours. He was a brother of ours that year, and you know, I hate to see a guy who worked so hard throughout the season not get a chance to play in the biggest game of the year and really get no explanation for it. So, with that said, I don't know how, you know, the business aspect went into that decision. I don't know how the personal aspect went into that decision between him and Bill, but you know, as a friend, you know, I would have loved to see him out on the field that day.
I don't know what the personal aspect between him and Bill that went into that decision. What an absolute shot that
is. I mean, to even introduce that, like, because again, he's saying, you know, there might be a personal element involved, which is, because again, this guy says nothing. He was here for how many years? Five?
None of them do, Maz.
No, but him especially. Yeah. Like, no, and
he
there's
was
a lot
robotic
of,
as anybody else.
There's a lot of them. Don't get me wrong, Murray. You're right about that. But him especially, he says squat. He says nothing. And all of a sudden, he's introducing a personal element, which is his way of saying, if you ask me, it was personal. Bill got personal with him, and he screwed all of us in the process.
That's exactly what it is. It's like he looked in the camera and said, hey, it had nothing to do with football, guys. Nothing to do with football. He double-crossed us all, and we're still mad about it. He cost us another ring. Bill.
This whole thing, Brady, Gronk, Amendola, Butler, you know, the whole thing would have been, and as recently as 10 months ago, unfathomable that you would get the Patriots publicly questioning the coach's game decisions, questioning his commitment to the players, fighting with him over the trainer. Like, this is the kind of crap that happens in other organizations. And by that, I mean the public aspect of it. The Patriots always keep this under wraps.
I mean, again,
always.
Jimmy, just quickly play the contract one on Danny Amendola's contract. After all the money he gave back to Bill, he was expecting Bill to fire back.
I understand Bill runs a tight ship. You know, he hasn't been known to pay his players, really. And, you know, I understood that. I gave money back to him so I could play for.
I gave money back to him. He's not talking about crap, the organization. He's going right at. I gave money back to him. Keep going, Jimmy.
You know, I understood that. I gave money back to him so I could play for him and play for my teammates and fulfill my side of the contract. And you know, at the end of the day, I had faith that he was gonna you know, give me an opportunity to stay. But at, you know, at the end of free agency or at the, you know, in this case it was the beginning, and when free agency broke, you know, it came to, you know, realization that, you know, he wasn't going to really come close to any of the other offers that I had. And, you know, I had to make a decision for my family and you know, go down to Miami and continue my career there.
Him. Amendola made it all about Belichick. So we'll pick this up on the other side. We'll continue to do this throughout the course of the day. It is a reentry Monday. We do have to get to the Bruins and the Celtics and the Red Sox. This is also Marathon Monday. And so we, along with a lot of other people, want to take a moment of silence to remember those who lost their lives in the bombings Now, 5 years ago, Maz, can you
believe
that?
No, it's unbelievable that? It's been that fast.
You know,
time has gone that fast.
And we say this every year, that one of the, if anything good came of it, which, you know, again, is a whole other discussion, debatable, but how we treat the marathon, and it used to be something we would mock and deride and just sort of, you know, rag on constantly. And now it's a chance to remember some people and remember some heroes and remember what's important, and it's become more of a solemn, meaningful day. And, it's not just people ragging on Ethiopian runners, Kenyan runners, right? Like, that's all we used to do is rag on these marathoners and rag on the day and complain about the traffic and the parking and everything. And now we don't do that. Now we remember Sean Collier and we remember Martin Richard and we remember Christy Campbell and remember the Chinese exchange student. And excuse me if I don't try and pronounce that name. So that's what we remember on this day. And so we take this moment of silence for those who lost their lives at the marathon bombings.
Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's not easy, that's for sure. You know, he's an sometimes, but a lot of things I didn't like about playing for him. But I must say, the things that I didn't like were all in regard to getting the team better, and I respected him. So, you know, I didn't like practicing in the snow. I didn't like practicing in the rain, but that was going to make us a better football team, and that was going to make me a better football player. It wasn't easy, and he'd be the first to admit at the ring ceremony that it wasn't easy playing for him. And, you know, the silver lining is that we were at the ring ceremony.
Now, the psychological torture made me a better player, but, you know, he's still an a-hole.
See, well, this is the danger of Belichick's methods, though, right? And when I say the danger of it, it's fine if you win. It is. And look, they're still winning. I mean, I don't mean to suggest that somehow it's over because they lost the Super Bowl. But in the minds of some of these players, it certainly feels like they get to the point and says, boy, you let us down in the biggest game. And you know what? I'm good. I'm done. I'm moving on. Like, I've had enough. So, you know.
But see, Amendola didn't feel it. He wanted to stay. He wanted to stay and they didn't pay him. He admitted it. So I don't think that's it. That's it. Amendola's not walking away because they lost the Super Bowl. He's not walking away because he benched Butler. He's just bringing that up because he knows it pisses off Bill. And it's a way to dump on him.
Yeah, but why is it so unrealistic to get both?
I'm
like,
sorry?
Why can't he win and get his money?
I don't get it.
In other words, you say he had to leave because he's not getting his money. Why shouldn't he? Why shouldn't he get his money here?
Oh, well, I think they should have paid him. But I'm telling you, he's not pissed. He's not leaving because of Butler. Like, I mean, I thought you just sort of implied that. You know, so
No, but it opens the door for everybody to express their displeasure about everything else that has gone on.
So that's it. But if they had paid him, he would have stayed. If they had paid him, they would have stayed, and he would have kept his mouth shut. He wouldn't have said anything. So to me, it usually goes back to that. But for Amendola, the Butler thing is just a way for these guys to pile on. It's a way for them to pile on Bill and take a shot at Bill because there are divisions right now.
I mean, this thing is...
And that's their opening.
It's a pig pile. That's what that is.
Here's Devin in Malden. Go ahead, Devin.
Hey, guys. 2 points. One, do you guys see the Patriots having enough personnel to compete, considering the receivers they lost and the injuries that are bound to happen with Gronk and whatnot?
To compete?
And the second point is...
Yes.
And to win. And do you think all this would be transpiring if the Pats won against the Eagles? Thanks.
No, I don't think you'd get as much Butler stuff at all. Because they would have won, and whatever Bill would have done would have been justified. So if Brady just hangs on to the ball and they go down and score on that last drive, no, you don't hear any of this Butler stuff. Absolutely. No. So, but would Brady not be here? I think that's sort of separate. I think Brady would still not be here. I think Gronk would still not be here, because those are about other things. I don't think these strikes or holdouts or whatever they're doing are not because of Malcolm Butler. It's not. It's because of this other stuff. So I still think they would not be in camp. They just wouldn't have the opening to say, you know, they wouldn't have this opening to take a shot at Bill with the Butler decision. That's all.
For sure, yeah. And I just, look, to me, I'm just saying that when Bill runs it the way he runs it, you're going to build resentment. And then when there's an opening, it's going to pour out.
Okay,
man.
Do they have enough to compete? Yes, of course. Of course what do you they compete do. To? Yes, they're going to compete and win their division and be in the playoffs. Do all the personnel losses and now a different approach, a lighter approach from their quarterback and tight end in the offseason, does that ultimately catch up to you? And I think yes. Yes. You know, when the Patriots have been able to overcome a lot of their flaws, but generally speaking, it catches up at some point, and that might not be till the fourth quarter of the last game of the year, but it catches up. And I think the Amendola loss is going to catch up to him, and I think that Brady not being 1,000% is going to catch up to him, and maybe Gronkowski on some level as well. That's all. I think Brady's Brady because he's there 24 hours out of 24 hours and is committed like he's nuts. And as soon as Brady becomes a little less nuts, he's a little less of a player. I think that's directly related.
Was it Darlington who tweeted initially that it was not unprecedented for Brady to miss?
That's right.
Okay, so when Darlington put that out on
Twitter. Yeah, Brady used to do a lot of his training in L.A. when he was in the Bridget era or after the Bridget era and his son was still out in L.A. He and G had this big mansion in Brentwood, right?
Yes.
So he'd spent a lot of his offseason time in Brentwood. I hated that, too.
Right, and he specifically cited 08, 09, and 10. Okay, and I don't know about you, but I look at those 3 years and I say, 08, he blew out his knee and they missed the playoffs. 09 might have been the worst year of the Belichick-Brady era with the insurrection, if that's what you want to call it, and Adelius Thomas and all that nonsense. And then 2010, they overachieved during the regular season, but they lost to the Jets.
Well, that's because the rest of the team sucked. He won the MVP that year.
Okay, but the point is that in the divisional playoff, they suffered one of their worst home playoff losses of the Belichick era. One of their worst.
No, I know. This is what Maz is saying. That if Darling is saying, hey, this happened before. It happened in 08, 09, 010. No problem. He's picking the wrong years because those were not, by Patriot standards, great years.
Right. I look at those and say, right, and the Patriots weren't exactly on top of their game those years. Like, you know, so to me, I look at that parallel, and I think it's a problem. I mean, if the quarterback is skipping out on these workouts, and now he's a Pied Piper and he's leading other guys out the door too, whether it's Gronk or anyone else, like I look at that and say, how's a team supposed to function normally if the coach and the quarterback don't get along?
So Reentry Monday, we'll get to all the other stuff on the table from the weekend, Bruins and Celtics. We've given you a Red Sox minute. You can weigh in on that, but we have to just continue on what I think is a borderline bombshell to the point where I hope Jeff Darlington of ESPN knows what he has said today. I hope he knows it. I hope he understands exactly what he said and what it means, because he's going to get tremendous blowback from folks around here, obviously. And it's, you know, and I just hope he understands exactly what he's saying today.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.